Looking for the big move to add to your resume this holiday season? Get the best gifts for everyone on your list at Amazon.com. Check out everything going on in Cyber Monday Deals Week with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday. That's robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after episode number 12 of Millennials versus Gen X on the night that it was the easiest pick ever for Stephen Fishback to come up with a fishy award, Stephen. No stress tonight.
Rob, I want you to know I don't talk strategy with just anyone. I have to look into someone's soul. And, you know, I've decided that you are almost as much of a know-it-all as me, which is really hard.
I don't just like talk to anyone, man. Like, I really need to. If you want to vote with my alliance, how do I know that you're really voting with us? If I can't even trust you,
that's pretty good. It's like what a luxury Ken must have had in this entire game to only be able to vote with the people whose souls he's looked into. You know, what a luxury he's had to like sit back, let David do the scheming, and just only mind meld with a select
like,
few.
Where do you get off, man? Like, you're going to vote with my alliance and then other people are going to vote against me? Like, yeah. That's messed up. Yeah.
So much to talk about, Steven.
What
oh
an episode.
Goodness. Oh,
you know,
wow.
This had the look of a not that great episode going into
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I know, like, you know, that did we look that we had the emotion. We had everything with a family visit.
Oh, my God.
About 35 minutes into it. But boy, those last 15 minutes really went off the rails.
There was so much to talk about here, too. You know, like the untold story is how was Hannah so sure it was her? And why did Adam trust her? And it was right. They were both right. But how and why?
Okay, we'll get into all of that. So great night of Survivor Know-It-Alls ahead. Taking your questions. Hashtag RHAP, busy Thursday. We will talk with Zeke on the Zeke exit interview.
Heartbreaking.
We will also have Shireen here in the studio with me on Thursday.
Heart uplifting.
Yes. Mike Bloom on the voicemails. Get your voicemails in as well. So
heart neutral.
you're neutral on Mike Bloom?
No, my heart is neutral.
Heart
in terms
neutral.
Of the voice, my brain is fizzing with excitement.
So many different things to get into here tonight. Also, real quick, last night for the RHAP t-shirts for 2016, go to robinswebsite.com/RHAP shirts. And before I forget, happy birthday to my mom tonight, who listens to the podcast. So happy birthday,
Mom.
Happy birthday to Roseanne Sesternino, who one time came and visited me on a family visit way back when. I think it was recently, we don't need to go back to how many years it was, Stephen.
Well, it was definitely in Survivor of the Amazon, because they wouldn't have even bothered to fly her out for all those times. You were gone so fast. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
She got that notification as soon as you were off the plane. Yeah. You
know. Stephen.
Sorry, you won't be needed this trip.
Yeah. Yes. I was, you know, in like, you know, 20 days in Ponderosa by the time it was her birthday in that season. Okay. But Stephen, let's just talk about this vote, because it really did go like really 360 degrees where it was going to be voting off Zeke. And Will decided out of nowhere that, hey, I need to update my resume.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, right? And I actually think, you know, I think there's a lot that we can talk about that Will did wrong, right? I think we probably both agree that flipping was wrong, but we'll talk about that. But it is interesting just to like lay the groundwork that, you know, you're what are they, day 31? They have to be thinking about like, what am I going to say at the jury phase? And like, kudos to Will. I want to start off with kudos because we may not have a lot of kudos for him later on. Kudos to Will for recognizing other people's perception of him as this young kid, realizing, you know, because we talk about this a lot. Everyone out there is the hero of their own journey. A lot of people lose sight of their of other people's perception. And like really good on Will for like knowing that people weren't giving him that respect as a big move maker. Now, how he goes about correcting that perception, I think, is obviously very flawed.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying so far, Steven. So you're off to a good start. So yeah, Will decides that he needs to update his resume. And I think that probably that, you know, we're just putting too much pressure on these high school kids. Like, oh, I got to get into a good college. I need a good resume. they're going to look at my resume. What, I didn't do anything. How am I going to get into a good school? But in all seriousness, so he decides that he's going to flip against Zeke. Zeke has the best shot to win the game. This is a bad move, correct?
Well, I do. It's funny you say that because I do think it's also very humorously, quintessentially high school. Like, no one respects me. Mom, dad, why don't you take me seriously? But yeah, a bad move to flip. You know, there's ways to build up your resume without doing the worst thing you can do in the game for the most part, which is flip from the one alliance to another. And especially this late in the game, just going from one group to the next group, the group you left is going to be furious at you. You've lost all their votes, and the new group isn't going to respect you either. We've seen it time and time again. People
not necessarily. That's not necessarily a hard and fast rule in terms of the game.
Pretty hard and fast.
No. There's plenty of time.
Except for Tony Vlachos. Except for Tony.
Yeah.
Give me another.
But if somebody that flipped from one alliance to another?
Yeah, it's always a bad move.
It's not. Stop it. It's not always a bad move. Well, what are you, Dan Foley?
No, there's truth in the Foley, you know?
It's not truth in the Foley. Take it back.
You just think about time and time.
The bigger problem, I think, for Will is this idea of trying to build up your resume by telling people you're building up your resume. I think that in life and in Survivor, I don't think you earn people's respect by saying like, hey, you need to start giving me respect.
I'm going to slightly disagree with you there because I think a lot of the respect people give on Survivor, certainly when we talk to the jury phase, is this kind of communal sense of like, oh, that person did that move, you know? And when it gets to the jury, they just have to be able to point to a few things to say, you did that, and I also like you, so I'm going to vote for you. You know, it comes down to, do they like you? And did you give them enough reason to vote for you? And we certainly saw that last season, right, with Michelle, who they really liked, and they just needed enough reasons to vote for her. I would argue that certainly that Wentworth on Cambodia had a similar thing. She had like two or three resume points and people liked her. So I do actually think there's an element to where you do kind of have to say, hey, this is my resume. Like I did this. And obviously Will got completely overshadowed by Adam today. You know, like Adam just like went in and erased Will's resume point. But Rob, flippers, it's a terrible move. Fincher in Samoa. Cochran in 23. I can't believe you're defending the flip from the bottom of Group A to the bottom of Group B.
Look, I don't want to. This is not an argument I want to be distracted with.
Surely
right
this
now.
Is the point of this podcast.
Steven, just people can just go back and watch when Dan Foley said flippers never win, and when we had this argument, a year and a half ago. But let's just keep focused.
Wow. All right. What great strategy conversation do you have planned for us?
Well, we have a million things to talk about from this episode.
Yeah, we do.
All right. So, but for Will to really sort of beat his chest about that this is my move that I'm trying to make. I really just like, you need like that wing person where you need other people talking about, you know, the strength of your move. I think that's your place to say it at the final tribal council, but I don't think he needs to really advertise, you know, how, you know, why he's making this move because it's going to be his signature move in the game.
I agree. It's very meta. It's very like, you know, I'm making a move to make a move. Like this is like, that is like almost the definition of big moves Survivor, right? It's like, he is advertising, like not that this is necessarily in his strategic interest, although he does make the point that Zeke is the biggest threat, but his primary motivation is not to get himself further or to, you know, it's literally just a move for its own sake. It's a meta move.
It was so much fun at Tribal Council trying to watch both sides courting Will and trying to win him over, because you know that I don't want to get too hard on Will at any point in this season, no matter what happens, because he's an 18-year-old guy. And I know
he's an adult. He's a legal adult. He can serve in the army. We can be hard on him. He can be shot at by the enemy.
Sure, sure. But I do take things with a grain of salt for somebody. So because I remember when I was 18 years old, I was making, incredibly dumb decisions. And even as a 38-year-old, I make incredibly dumb decisions. But yeah. in terms of Will, like you could see, like he's and I don't mean this as an insult, but like emotionally fragile, where I think his ego is very raw. And I think that just even the way people are talking to him is sending him spiraling one way or another. And I even the way like Sunday talked to him at Tribal Council, like you could see like he like visually was affected by it. The way that Ken is talking to him, that's really affecting him. The way that Jay knows how to talk to him, that's affecting him in his decision making.
I actually have been, it's funny that you say that you find him to be like really raw in that way. I've actually found him to be very like sort of poised in a way beyond his years in those moments. You have that conversation with Ken where Will's like, Ken is infuriating to deal with, but I have to grip my teeth and bear it. And he does an amazing job of gritting his teeth and bearing it.
Then
Ken blows up his spot. And I thought Will handled that conversation really well. You've got all these people like coming at him. Will, what the hell did you? What the hell did you? And he's like, yeah, I did that. And here's why. And I thought the way that he made it, he was just totally straightforward and just completely fessed up. And, put it back on everybody around him. And then when Sunday says that thing about Tribal Council, this is Will's moment to control his narrative. And that's the entire point of what Will's doing, right? He's like, I want to control my own narrative out here. I don't want to be, a character in someone else's narrative. And so Sunday says that thing, oh, those guys have like lured Will away. Will, it's funny, you read that as him being sort of like emotionally hurt by that. I read that as him being like, intellectually aware, oh my gosh, like that's losing the thread of the narrative. If Sunday is saying they're pulling me away, then the whole point of what I'm doing, which is saying, no, I'm the proactive one here, is getting lost. So I need to like take control of that. I actually thought he was really astute in those moments.
I thought Sunday a couple times in the conversation with Will at Tribal Council, one, when Jeff was asking, okay, could you guys sum up what's going on here? And she sort of said, okay, well, it's us four over here and it's those four over there. And then Will is in the middle. I would have said, Jeff, right now the situation is, we have me, Brett, Will, Zeke, and Jay against David and his four, instead of sort of like identifying Will as somebody outside of the main four of the group. And then I also think that she offended him when she said, well, some of the older boys are doing some of the things and he wants to get some of the credit that the big boys are getting. And again, I felt like that in the, he wants to be referred to.
Right. Oh yeah, totally. She was doing a bad job of yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, so I think that was the thing. And he just wants to be recognized. And maybe I'm doing a bad job tonight in talking about how, like, hey, I'm not going to come down too hard on him because he's listening to this and saying, like,
you should.
I don't want to do the same voice as Ken, but I should be treated the same way as all these other older players.
Well, he should be treated the same way. Yeah. I mean, but, there is that weird element of, who's getting the most credit for a move, because it's true. Like every single one of these people is out there. They're all backstabbing each other. They're all in conversations. And it is very strange, like how there's so much of like, just like perception that goes into deciding who's the more strategic player. Like, in Cambodia, like, Tasha and Jeremy were both very strategic players, but like Jeremy got a lot of the credit that maybe Tasha also, she deserved credit too. Right. I mean, that's not to take away from Jeremy, but just like Tasha was working hard as well. So
the problem wasn't that Tasha didn't claim the credit for it, correct?
Right, but I think part of it was perception. It was like Jeremy did an amazing job of seeming like he and being in more people's ears and probably doing more as well. And it's true that Will says that he and Jay were doing things equally, but what we've seen, at least, it looked like Jay was doing a lot and Will was also in the room, right?
Yeah.
So, from Will's perspective, he's making those moves together. They're talking it through. They're planning it out, but from our perspective, like Jay is the one driving that and Will is in the passenger seat. So again, like, I think it's like pretty impressive that Will is able to identify in that moment I'm in the passenger seat. I need to get in the driver's seat.
Okay. So Zeke's side, or you could say Will's side, that they end up getting the numbers back. They cast more votes against Hannah than the votes coming to Zeke.
No.
That count.
No, no. Will flipped.
He did flip ultimately.
Will flipped. Yeah. Will voted for Zeke. Adam's idol play was irrelevant.
Oh,
but yes.
Yeah. This is a game changer.
Yeah. Will flipped, which is the most amazing part. And no, but it's incredible that you didn't even know that, because that's what's so amazing about this, right? Is that Will's whole thing was like, I need to get credit for my big move. He makes his big move. He does flip and he gets no credit, not, you know, from anyone. Like, what's the jury going to remember? They're not going to remember Will's flip. They're going to remember Adam's like uncanny idol play.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great catch by you. I just thought that the whole episode was leading up to that Will say, and then Adam stole the thunder.
Adam definitely stole the thunder.
Yeah. And so we're not saying that Adam wasted his idol, are we?
I think it's still a worthwhile play because he didn't know where Will was going to go. And the fact that he had like the correct sniff from Hannah is still to me uncanny, but, I think it's still the right move, right? Would you now, you know, with this revised assessment, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I really thought that Adam ended up saving the day here. And now I have to really try to reprocess this. I mean, that I for all intents and purposes, I don't think that people are going to look at it like he flayed the. I mean, that for me, that it was such a great night for Adam because we came into this merge. I don't know if you watched the shows while you were on vacation, Stephen, but I'm teasing. But that really, when Adam came into this merge, we said, what is he doing? And nobody trusts him. That he's at like one thing after the next where he's going to Taylor and then Taylor's blowing up his spot and he's got this reward and it's like one thing after the next and he's going and he's talking to everybody and nobody trusts him. And he somehow, especially in the matter of this episode, has really both restored his trust with his allies. He gave away his advantage, which we'll talk about, to Jay. And then if anybody was concerned about him having a hidden immunity idol, he got rid of the hidden immunity idol. So while he's in a worse position for not having an idol, he's coming across as one of the most trustworthy people that are out there. And I'm sure we'll talk about the family visit as well. When he announces, hey, I've got this thing. I could use it. I will not. And he still goes on the reward and he still gives the thing to Jay.
Yeah, no, I thought it, I mean, amazing episode for Adam. I was talking to Josh, and he was like, this is maybe one of the best episodes, you know, for anyone ever, right? Like, just in terms of just such a great episode, start to finish for Adam, every part of it, and certainly not least with his idol play, which, you know, talk about a survivor resume, right? If anyone is coming out ahead in this episode, like, Adam's coming out with his great move.
Yeah. Who do we blame for Adam being able to figure out that it was Hannah? Just because Hannah says, hey, I know it's me?
So Hannah said, hey, I know it's me. And I mean, at least the narrative we saw, it's like, hey, Hannah's like, hey, she said it at camp. I think it's going to be me. Adam's like, oh, yeah. And then
she might say it every vote.
Well, that's the funny thing. So like last time she said it, she was also right. Right. But that's what I was thinking. It's like someone says, hey, it's me. Like, I'm like, okay, everyone thinks it's them. You know, you're sitting in tribal council. You're freaking paranoid. But Adam obviously trusted her read enough to play his idol based on it. So maybe she doesn't say it every vote.
Yeah. Can we go back to talk about Will and what he did? Because I felt like when we were talking about this, I thought, okay, well, he stuck with the Brett and Sunday side. This is, I mean, really not such a great spot for him now, I feel like, with being on the David side of the numbers.
Why? You were just saying flipping is a great move.
Look, Steven, stop trying. Let's concentrate on the task at hand.
I agree. Well, that's my whole point, is that I think Will's going to flip. You know, Will's flip is now, right? Like, all the old guys are going to want him gone, you know, and David's group isn't going to value Will. You know, who are his relationships with over there? You know, he had a really tight thing with Jay. You know, he certainly had a decent thing with Zeke, right? Now who's he got?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what he has. I mean, he really only has Jay, and why would he flip against Jay?
Yeah.
Jay, I guess he's down in the numbers, but why is Jay going to trust him?
Yeah. No, I think you know, if history is you know, whatever they say, if past is future, right? I think Will is not long for this game based on this flip. And I think he was in actually a pretty good spot, right? So the question, like, is, here's my question for you, Rob. What is the move for Will here? Like, you're at the final nine, you're Will, you recognize that, like, hey, I've got no resume. What do you do?
I think it's too early to start building that resume. I mean, especially for him, that I think he's got to come from and understand who he is in the game. That I think that he doesn't want to go to the end and be like Natalie Tenorelli and say, okay, well, I was just the youngest person here and I got to the end and I got no votes. But I think that probably you want to start going and making that move as you get a little bit closer to daylight, as opposed to where he decides at final nine, okay, now I'm going to be the mastermind of this game. And now everybody's going to start to play the game my way. And I just think that it was so from out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. I you know, it's funny that he said it came from the family visit, because I think that probably is the case. You know, I certainly had that experience where it's like, it's suddenly you're reminded, like, oh my gosh, like, here's what the stakes are. Like, this is my life outside this game. I need to step it up, because like, this world I'm in has an end, you know? Did you feel that at all? I mean, you were sort of going hard the entire time, you know, did seeing mom, change the way you perceive the game?
Our family visit came at such a tense time in the game. And I guess like this, one in this particular season where we had just voted out Alex the night before and Jenna and Heidi were really mad at me at that point. And my mom came out and I remember saying to her, I said, mom, I've really been like, doing some bad things out here. And she's like, okay, go do it. You know, good job.
And that's nice.
Yeah. So that was good. I remember saying to her that I said, you know, mom, I'm doing a good job here, but I don't think I'm going to win. I think I'm probably, I might lose. Everybody's mad at me. But I did feel like a little bit of you sort of like, oh yeah, like I forget what's real. Like, I know people at home.
Yeah. My experience was like, my brother was there and I was like, you know, I met this great guy. I'm JT. And like, I may have to backstab him, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. I don't know. And he's like, what are you talking about? You've known this guy for a month. Like, obviously you'll backstab him. Oh yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen that time and time again throughout Survivor history. Yeah. Go back to Survivor Thailand and Helen's like in the boat with her husband. And she's like, ah, this guy, Brian, he's a really good guy. I trust him. He's like, okay, I guess so. it happens. It happens a lot. It's a good spot for the family visit. Final nine might be the most people ever at the family visit also.
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Do you think they moved it up because they knew they had this reward steal in play and they said, hey, let's get that family visit
get it
going
before
somebody wastes the family, the reward steal?
The reward steal totally paid off, right? I mean, it didn't actually get played, but it was such a powerful moment for the show.
Yeah. So, Steven, let's just talk about Adam in terms of obviously the super emotional moment. I cannot even imagine what he's going through out there during the game. Was there any strategy involved by Adam saying that he was not going to use it at this spot?
There may have been, right? I think probably like 90% nobility, right? Like, I can't do this to someone else. I mean, obviously there's got to be some strategy there, because like the fact of not doing it to someone else, you know that he has to know that if he does it to someone else, like, he's pissing off not just that person, but like possibly a lot of other people.
Right. Record, Adam has never, you know, had even like a sense of like an ulterior motive in anything that he's done this season.
Yeah, you know, maybe like announcing it so publicly is a way of like hoping that someone brings you like, hey, I'm not going to do it. I'll never do it. You guys, I love you guys too much. Like, maybe he's like, hinting.
Yeah.
You know, not hinting.
Well, I wondered how many people was Jeff going to say you could bring on the reward until Adam got picked.
Is there
anybody else maybe that want to go on a reward today?
It definitely, I have it in Cambodia where I think Cambodia may have.
I think you guys had
eight.
Four, right?
Eight. Yeah, they picked four, but it was like basically until like Joe was picked. So maybe they like to do the half and half where it's
So let's go to then the Adam giving the reward steal to Jay. Was that in Adam's mind, hey, I owe you one? Or was there any part of Adam saying like, this thing is a jinx, is a curse, I don't want it here, you take it, I insist?
I don't know. What do you think? I thought it was like totally like overflow of the moment and the generosity and the goodness of the game. And like, here, maybe you're right that there was like, yeah, that part of like, he can't ever use it, right? Like, who's going to use a reward steal? You're just going to piss someone off, especially this late in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, the time to use it would be for an advantage and a challenge, right? I don't know. When does it expire? The time to use it would be like 5 or 4 if there's like one of those like win and advantage in the final.
Yeah, usually at 5. I think that's when that's been. So it really was the perfect spot, especially it was Jay who seemed like he was the most upset about it, that it could happen, the fact that he didn't do it. And also it's a chance that, you know, Jay is somebody who's on the other side of the aisle in terms of that Jay said, hey, sometimes we hate each other, but today I work, you know, it feels like that Adam has a lot of relationships on that side as well. He seems like he's the person who is on the David side that has the most positive relationships on both sides of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem like he's got a lot going on. You know, certainly like I was surprised by the level of David Zeke antagonism. Like Zeke's like, I'm happier that David will lose than that I will win. You know, like that was like a weird remark because, you know, they were allies until last week when they kind of like had this like chess master feud. Now then it suddenly became very personal.
Yeah. You know, we haven't touched much on Zeke in terms of his boot episode. And it did feel like that in hindsight, the move against Chris was his ultimate undoing.
I think so too. I think that was too soon. He got rid of his like basically core trust cluster. Then suddenly it fractured, right? Like he turned on Chris. Then he immediately turned on David. Like these were his allies, you know, in the game. These were his core allies. And I think he really got, you know, maybe didn't anticipate how much that would fall out with like Hannah flipping on him, right? Because like maybe he thought, because from our perspective at that time when he turned on Chris, it looked like Zeke kind of had Hannah and Adam, and that flip might have hurt him more than the more, you know, whatever caused that. What did cause that?
What did cause Zeke to not be with Hannah and Adam?
Yeah,
Hannah was just so much with David and with Ken. I think that she ultimately had to decide where she was going to be. And then for Adam, I think that he had to pick between going with Zeke or going with Hannah, and he picked Hannah.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like the core issue was Zeke kind of lost his millennial allies after his flip on Chris, and that included Will. And, you know, I always like kind of blame the strategist, right? Like, because I feel like if the person who should be running the game, you know, should be running the game, you know, and it's on him to like make those people feel valued and feel, you know, like that's what it came down to, right? Hannah didn't feel valued. Will didn't feel valued.
Yeah. I mean, for Zeke, it's really a tale of two flips. Don't get started with the flip talk again, but in terms of,
no, that's totally different though. The David thing is totally different. Like, or the Chris thing, where that's exactly what I think Will should have done. I think like the best move in that situation is not to just flip from one group to another. It's to build your own group, you know, and that's what Zeke did. He went, you know, he got rid of Chris, then pulled in Brett and Sunday. Then, you know, he had Jay, and then he like was going to hopefully going to pull in right Hannah and Adam. Zeke was going to build his own thing based on himself, and that's really the move, right? Not just to go from like group A to group B.
Yeah, but I also think that maybe the Chris thing could have been salvaged if he was to stick with David and Ken and Jessica for another vote. Right. I mean, we saw him then starting to work with Brett and Sunday, and then at the point where David talked about going after Zeke eventually, then he really started to go his own direction. And you know, I'm not sure exactly the timeline of who said what when, but I feel like that if he just stuck with David after that Chris vote, I wonder if that would have played out differently as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think there, he really like went for it hard, and it was almost too soon in the game, you know, to like go hard. Like he really like struck out on his own. And there's a degree to which, you know, as with Will today, right, you kind of need to hold back, and it's so tempting, you know, you have the merge and all the merge drama happens, and then that kind of gets sorted out. And then you're at that lull on day like 28 or whenever it was, 27. You know, same thing happened to me. You're like, there's a space in the game now. I'm just going to push for it, but it's too soon. You can't maintain that momentum for that long. And I think that's exactly what happened. You know, you kind of want to hold back until day 35 to make that last push.
Okay, we touched on it at the top of the show, the Ken stuff. Steven, that was so absurd, everything going on with Ken on both sides of it, where, yeah, like, why that, you know, we always talk about like just everybody that wants to work with you, like, okay, yeah, yep, yep, that sounds good. Sounds good. Okay, I like what you're saying. That sounds good. Maybe not necessarily, you know, swear that you're going to do it, but at least like just hear the person out and sort of like make the other person feel like, okay, you have a good working relationship. And he really gave Will the third degree, And then after that, went back and blew up everything with Jay. And I still don't understand why in the world did Will vote with these guys.
Well, the craziest part to me of that Ken conversation was that Ken blows up, like the blows things up with Will and Jay. You know, Zeke comes over. They're all about to have it out. And then Ken leaves. He walks away from the conversation. That to me was the craziest part. Like it's one and like, you know, you've created this explosion. You know, you're like, well, I was testing you. Like you weren't testing him. You know, you screwed up and now you're like making an, you know, trying to justify it in your own sort of like bro, you know, your surfer bro lingo. Like it was a test. Like I'm a deep
and profound.
Yeah, exactly. Like it wasn't a test. So. Like he knows he screwed up and this is his way of justifying it. But, you know, then he gets everyone together. They're all having it out, you know, literally about why they were going to vote for him, his whole reason for getting so upset. And he walks away.
Yeah. So it was a rough night for Ken. You know, I know we've talked about, and he even said in the episodes, it's like that he got the legacy advantage from Jessica. And he says,
just goes to show you the advantage of building these lasting bonds with people in the game.
And that's great. You know, you should do that, but you also need to be able to, you know, form quick bonds with people because you're not going to have, you know, 72 hours to bond with a person before every vote in Survivor.
Yeah. You know, it's all like, I don't trust someone until I look into their soul, you know, like, you got to, unfortunately, you know, you're not
sometimes
gonna be able to
an
look
opportunity
into-
presents itself. It's like, hey, the four of us, we're voting. We're doing this tonight. Let's go. And you just have to be able to roll with the punches a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So not the best night for Ken. No. Not his, you know, hashtag not the winners at it.
I don't know. All right. You want to touch on David at all?
Yeah. I love David. What is there to touch on?
I mean, do you feel like that he is set up well now?
Oh, I think David's in a great spot, right? I think some of the, like, as with Adam, you know, you're saying Adam, there's so much heat on Adam, kind of dissipated. I think some of the heat on David has dissipated, and David has let it dissipate wisely. Certainly his alliance is doing much better than, you know, the opposing alliance in terms of, right? In terms of recruitment, you know, David's skill is really recruitment. People, you know, do seem to trust his group more than they trust the other group.
Yeah. So you feel like that he would be very unlikely to go out back to back with Zeke? Because I feel like that is the Survivor trope where the two warring enemies go out back to back.
I don't feel good about Will right now. I'm selling Will stocks. I'm shorting Will.
Yeah. That does seem like if you were going to Vegas, I feel like that's the odds on pick coming up for next week. All right. Let's start to get into some of these questions from the listeners of the podcast. Again, hashtag RHAP as we go through everything here tonight on episode number 12, believe it or not, of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. Just 2 weeks, Stephen Fishback, until the finale of Millennials versus Gen X. How about that?
Crazy.
I know it is. All right. So here we go. This is our first question from Stephen H. Was Adam giving the reward steal to Jay about the best thing he could do with the reward steal? I mean, is there, I don't know what could be better.
Yeah. He like gets a ton of like benefit with Jay. You know, heals that bond, you know, he gets it off his own hands, looks super generous. I think it was both good human action and good strategic action.
Yeah, I mean that to give it away and then he also gets the karma from that. He can say to people, look, I mean what I said. I wasn't going to use it. I think that he just earns so much goodwill where he was just like for 2 weeks. We just said, what is he doing? I'm happy he got his feet under him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stabilized.
I think he kind of like backed off a little bit. You know, he backed off.
Okay. What do you think let me ask you about the very funny scene that Adam pulls the idol out of his crotch area at Tropic and says, Jeff, you don't have to touch it. Jeff did not back away.
That's why he wins the Emmy for best host. He goes where many people would not choose to go.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what environment, whether it's the extremes of the Vanuatu Islands or the extremes of Adam's crotch idol.
I would have said, you know, you could just put it on the table. That's fine. That's fine with me. Okay. Why don't you take Amanda Fallon?
Amanda Fallon wants to know, can we overlook Ken's poor gameplay because he's Ken?
Not on this show.
That's why I've gotten the blog this tomorrow about Ken's in the Handsome Bubble, I think. You know, remember that from 30 Rock with mm-hmm. John Hamm,
yeah,
where John
Hamm,
the doctor, and he's incompetent and everything, but because he's so handsome, everyone gives him a pass. I think there may be a little bit of that with Ken.
You think so? Do you think that people are like, oh, no, that was still a pretty good idea, Ken?
Yeah. And I even think viewers, I think you know, me, myself, like for the past, 12 weeks have been like, oh, man, Ken, he really knows what's up. And maybe he doesn't really know what's up.
Handsome Bubble.
Yeah. Jay Riotmaker wants to know, but do the rest know Will flipped if they didn't read out all the votes? They read out the 4 Hannah votes. So that will be indicative.
Yeah. So when Will goes back to camp, he's really going to make the case of everybody that, why he did what he did. But everybody's like, wow, Adam, thanks so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Like, no, guys, seriously. I want some credit around here.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about reinforcing his insecurities. Like, he finally makes his big move and he goes back to camp and no one's going to care. They go, oh, yeah, Will, that was so great of you, too. Thanks, Will. Way to go, guy. But Adam.
Yeah, somebody give me some credit.
Yeah.
Thiden wants to know, which do you think is harder for Will, finals week in school or Ken's test? Yeah, well, Ken's test was a pop quiz.
Yeah. Again, what exactly, even in Ken's mind, what is Ken's test?
He was testing to see if what Will told him was true.
By checking with Jay to see if Will... There's no way that Ken believes that was a plan. Like, there's no logic behind that.
Yeah. I mean, even if you do go and ask somebody, are you voting for me tonight? And the answer is yes. Like, what are you doing? Like, hey, don't do that. Don't vote for me.
Yeah.
Vote for somebody else.
Although, to be fair, the vote did switch to Hannah from Ken. It was successful.
It worked. It worked, Stephen. Okay.
It was crazy. I mean, like, the fact that Will still voted with those guys is remarkable, given that he had every reason to not. And that just showed how hungry he was for his big move.
Yeah, well, you always talk about it, the big moves era. Do you think that in sort of the echo chamber of what we do, like that has really, very much front of mind? Like, where do you think that ultimately comes from? Is that sort of like is that the show? Is that sort of is that social media? Where what's at the heart of the big moves era?
Yeah, I thought about this. I think it's partially, some of the social media, some of like us, raving about, it's like the post Tony world. You give more credit to Russell. I think it's also the show. You go to Tribal Council. You've got Jeff at Tribal Council tonight saying, all comes down to big moves, and I really think the show is kind of hitting that hard. And when everyone's telling you it all comes down to big moves, what's your big move? What's your big move? What's your big move? Like, it gets in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, it's hard. Like, are we going to start a reaction? Like, it's great TV, right? It's more fun when there's big moves. It's certainly more fun to podcast about.
Sure. Please keep making big moves, everybody.
But it's bad strategy. It's like someone has to speak up, Rob.
Yeah. But just to give the counterpoint to that, like, somebody has to make a move. Like, you can't have 9 people all not making a move. So
you're right.
The person, if everybody's going to play tight, the person that's playing the loosest is going to win.
And I think that's where the sort of Tony, people like Tony and Russell really excelled, right? And you're right. Like, certainly, like, it makes sense for someone like Will to do something. I guess maybe the problem isn't the moves themselves. It's the actual results of those moves. But like, and it's good now that the person on the bottom of the 5 is being, I don't want to be on the bottom of this 5 anymore. Like, I got to do something to shake it up. They just need the better something.
Yeah. But
because it was boring watching, like, 8 people kind of just follow Boston Rob, to the end.
Yeah. But I think, like, if you're Will, just in terms of going down to the 5, I feel like that it's probably a good spot for him if he's in the 5 with Zeke and Jay and Brett and Sunday, even to get it to 7 and see what that looks like. I think that's probably there's a little bit more of a cleaner path to victory.
Yeah. And I'm writing this in my blog, but ultimately, winning the game isn't about having the best resume. It's being more liked than the 2 people sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. So for Will, it's less about, like, what's my big move than it is, who are the jerks who I want to ally with? And that's really what he should be focusing on right now. It's like, who do people really, who won't, are people not going to vote for, you know? And looking at this cast, like, who do you think? Like, if you were Will, like, who are the two?
Who are the two people that are going to be the goats?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that if Will got to the end with Brett and Sunday, I feel like he's got a puncher's chance, I feel like.
Brett's, you know, the cop, gay cop.
What are you saying? That's like he's a cop, people will vote for him, or cop people won't vote for him?
Cop people will vote for him.
Why? That's a thing that people vote for a cop if they're on the jury?
You know, solid blue collar guy. Yeah. You know, and so over the student, you know, this guy's got his whole life ahead of him. This other guy's serving the community every day, putting his life.
Boy, you're really getting the Dan Foley propaganda out there between the flippers never win, blue collar all the way. Yeah. I don't know. That's
I
the
said
thing.
Very nice things about Shireen at the start of this podcast. So
take it back. Take it back. All right. Jay Steckley. Let me get this straight. Will told Zeke about Jay's idol to build trust with him, only to vote him out the following episode.
Yeah. It does seem like every episode Will's like, you know what? I need to make a move. I got to start changing up my game. Yeah. There's some inconsistency.
I like that the Fishback impressions are coming out.
Yeah, they all sound like just me with a slightly deeper voice.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, I am going to encourage it. Yeah. Will was looking for something. He was in a bad spot after he was aligned with the millennials. And I think he's like, hey, you guys are screwing this up. I'm going to go out and, you know, make my own way in the world. But it has not gone great yet.
Talking, you know, as we pointed to Chris as Zeke's original sin. Voting out Michaela was a mistake, big mistake for Will. I think Will would be in a much stronger position if they hadn't voted out Michaela here.
Yeah, I agree. But the crazy thing is, that sad. Jay just keeps having an idol, how many tribal councils in a row now he had immunity in the last one, but three out of the last four tribal councils, that he could have potentially played his idol. He chose not to. And here he is at the final eight and he still has it. He's the only idol left in the game.
Yeah, I think some idol's got to pop again, right? These guys got to get out there.
Yeah, I think that we'll put another idol back into play. I think that you didn't need to go from two back to three, but I think that when you get down from two to one, I think they'll put one back out there. I think that's sort of like just following the, Cambodia logic. Jeremy, when he has two idols and then he plays one on you, then they put another one back out there, and that's when the second one that Kelly finds.
I guess that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's how they both end up with one at the final six.
Yeah.
All right. Travis wants to know, why did Will risk his game by drawing a rock, then 3 days later flip on Zeke anyway? It's a good point. That's a good question.
That's a really good point, Travis.
Yeah. That we can't answer. Look, there's a lot of ideas out there in the ether of Survivor.
But there is also the element of narrative ownership, right? It's one thing to flip on Zeke. After it's about to go to rocks, no one's going to praise you for that. But then to be the guy who's comes up with let's vote out Zeke plan, you do that. You do have that scalp on your, I think it matters more than you think it does. I just think we disagree about that.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
Just to touch on the flipper thing again, that in a vacuum, yes, it's bad to, if you're with nine people and you have an alliance of five, it's bad to flip on four people and piss them off. But it really comes down to the moves that you make after the fact. I don't think it's a death sentence.
If the whole thing dissolves again or you flip back. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not a death sentence. It's just the thing we see is people going from, right. The common thing we see is people going from the bottom of group A or from the middle of group A to the bottom of group B. Right. And you just, therefore you completely piss off all of group A and then group B, if it is that binary, right. That's only the case when you do have two sort of solid groups, mm-hmm. which might not be the case this season. So,
yeah.
I still don't feel good about Will's long-term chances here.
Okay. Then this is from Joel. You want to take this one?
Yeah. Joel Tapia wants to know, is this the first we've ever had a non-contestant receive a confessional?
No, they've had loved ones do a confessional before.
Yeah. Loved ones have done confessionals.
I want to say either that we've even had doctors do a confessional.
Is that right, Dr. Joe?
It's possible. I'm not sure about that. That one I might not be 100% on.
Yeah.
Okay. Riley
what about
Rage.
Tata Bushman? Did Tata Bushman have a confessional?
I don't think he spoke English well enough to do a confessional. Yeah. Riley Rage says, thoughts on Ken's silence during Tribal. wasn't he a huge part of why Will was in the middle in the first place? Well, you don't know. He might have talked, but the problem is that either he just like talked for too long and they couldn't use anything, or he didn't say anything of substance. So
yeah, there's a lot going on in that tribal council.
Don't read too much into that. All right, let's do two more questions, Stephen.
Alex Wilpon wants to know, should they all have Christy Smith Will?
The problem there is if the two sides get together there, you know, when we voted out the swing vote in Christie, that was out on an even number. And then we got down from 6 to 5. Here, this is going from 9 to 8. And then you have the specter of another 4-4 vote coming up on the next tribal council.
Yeah, I think nobody wants that. And I mean, I definitely thought that was, you know, a risk. But yeah, I think the you know, Zeke's group, I think the groups are yeah, I agree with you basically.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. And one last question from Samantha Jebbit. Do you think that Will should have made it more clear who he was voting for? Was there any advantage for Will in sort of letting it play out to tribal council in terms of where he was going? And I guess we can find out from Zeke in the exit press how much he might have known it was going to be against him at that point.
I don't know. I think, you know, if you're obvious, then there's a good chance that someone plays their idol, right? If you're, you know, when there's a very clear vote happening, it certainly like increases the possibility of an idol being played. So I think it's a little bit of ambiguity is better because no one wants to waste it. You know, if you're saying like, hey, I'm voting out Zeke tonight, you're really giving Jay the shot to play the idol. If you're like, well, I don't know what Will's going to do. Like, I don't want to waste this idol. And then I don't have my idol. You know, it's much harder for Jay to play it with even a little bit of ambiguity in that position. So I think it's better to not say it. And, you know, if anything happens except what happened tonight, then Will goes back to camp and is like, yeah, I had to do it. You know, it was my move.
Anything to Jay playing the idol for Zeke?
No, because again, like Jay probably didn't think that, you know, probably didn't think that Will was going to make that flip. And then
you end up with the possibility of it, a 0-0 tie again, and possibly even having to draw rocks for Jay at the point where he's not even immune. So
he's probably been such a target. Yeah, I wouldn't if I were Jay. I mean,
yeah, you know. Yeah. I feel like that maybe Zeke probably should have said, hey, Jay, play the idol yeah, here. Right? Yeah. The point where Adam played the idol on Hannah. But so interesting stuff and very exciting final eight, Stephen.
Yeah, it's a good group. It really is a good group. Who are your winner predictions?
I mean, I think that there's probably, I mean, this is, you have David is certainly in the mix. David. I think that Ken, I know a lot of people had him. I feel like that I feel like his stock took a hit tonight.
Yeah.
I think Adam's back Ken up on the rise this. After tonight. Yeah.
David and Adam are my two. Is this side of Jay? What do you think of Jay?
I think Jay's definitely in the mix. I think Hannah is you know, teetering on the brink. Sunday, I'm not so sure. Sunday and Brett, I don't feel great about.
Oh, I wanted to say, like, some people after our last week's episode were like, why do you hate Sunday and Will so much? I don't hate them. We were talking about like who the big characters are. I don't think they've been big characters. That's a question of edit. It's not a question of them at all as people. It's just like they haven't been big characters. So when I was like saying that they're not, you know, they're not big characters, that was just definitely, that was just responding to that.
Okay. So 100% that Adam is getting your fishy tonight.
100%, Rob. Or, I mean, sorry, you don't know. You'll have to tune in tomorrow to read the blog.
Okay. Of course, that we also have everything going on with the podcast tomorrow. Zeke is going to be on our exit interview, and then we'll have Shireen here in the studio to talk through everything. And then voicemails with Mike Bloom coming up. Steven, that had you been following my Instagram this week?
I hadn't been.
Wow. I had shared a picture of the Know-It-Alls boxing poster designed by Brian Malloy.
Yeah.
And which is available up in the Rob Has a Podcast store. Yeah. And Stephen, did you happen to see a comment made on that post by Russell Hance?
Oh, wow. How was it? Tell me what it was.
So Russell Hance looked at the picture and said that this poster is flawed. One of these two people is not a know-it-all.
Oh, it's got to be me.
You think so? Are you still feuding with Russell?
He weirdly like blocked me once. for like almost no reason.
So, okay. So I think, so, that I'm, so I'm not in a feud with Russell. You are. All right. So that, great job here tonight. Great job. You can follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter at Stephen Fishback.
Yes, please.
Okay. And then also, we will be back with, your podcast tomorrow. Get your voicemails in robhaswebsite.com/voicemail. Take care, everybody. And, thanks everybody using our links for the amazon.com. Always appreciate it. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye. Survivor, no way to-